And I want you to take this story personally. We see in this story of Jesus the ultimate example for us of love, of humility, and of sacrificial service in this Savior.
Proclaiming God's love and truth for you and your family. Wonder Lake Bible Church.
Well, folks, in our society, it has become very dangerous these days to wish anyone a Merry Christmas. Have you noticed that? You might offend someone, and you can pretty much forget about publicly acknowledging the birth of Jesus Christ. So not wanting to offend anyone tonight, I would like to share with you this little bit of politically correct cheer with you that's called the 12 Days of Politically Correct Christmas. It says, now on the 12th day of the Eurocentrically imposed midwinter festival, my significant other in a consenting adult monogamous relationship gave to me 12 males reclaiming their inner warrior through ritual drumming, 11 pipers piping, plus the 18-member pit orchestra made up of members in good standing of the Musicians' Equity Union, as called for in their union contract, even though they will not be asked to play a note, 10 melanin-deprived, testosterone-poisoned scions of the patriarchal ruling class system leaping, 9 persons engaged in rhythmic self-expression, 8 economically disadvantaged female persons stealing milk products from enslaved bovine Americans, 7 endangered swans swimming on federally protected wetlands, 6 enslaved fowl Americans producing stolen non-human animal products, 5 golden symbols of culturally sanctioned enforced domestic servitude. And note, after members of the Animal Liberation Front threatened to throw red paint at my computer, the calling birds, French hens, and partridge have been reintroduced to their native habitats. And to avoid further animal American enslavement, the remaining gift package has been revised. 4 hours of recorded whale songs, 3 deconstructionist poets, 2 Sierra Club calendars printed on recycled processed tree carcasses, and 1 spotted owl activist chained to an old growth pear tree. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Good Kwanzaa, Blessed Yule, Happy Holidays, unless otherwise prohibited by law. Well, now, on second thought, I realize that I might be taking a bit of a risk here tonight, but I'm going to go ahead and wish you all a very Merry Christmas and ask you to join with me as we celebrate here the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so to you, I say, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Thank you. But though, I'm going to take it a very dangerous step further, though, tonight and ask that you would please do take this personally. You know, we've often said that in the stories that we've been telling, the story of Christmas through the stories of the key elements of that story, the key persons of that story, Mary, Joseph, and of course, Jesus himself. And I want you to take this story personally. We see in this story of Jesus the ultimate example for us of love, of humility, and of sacrificial service in this Savior. Now, the author of the Gospel of John the Apostle, wrote this gospel emphasizing the saving work of Jesus Christ on the cross, that all who would read these words, that they might hear them and believe them, and in Jesus' name have life. And here's how he begins his gospel. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." Now I want to tell you the story of Jesus tonight. Now, if we were to tell you the whole story of Jesus, we would be here a very, very long time, wouldn't we? In fact, even this author of the Gospel of John, John says that what is recorded, what we know as the Scriptures and the Gospel stories, that this is just a tiny, tiny portion of all that Jesus said and did. And he said, if we were to do that, he says, even the world itself could not contain all the books that could be written about Jesus. But I thought we would tell this story of Jesus tonight, of the whole story of Jesus, of what the Scriptures say, not just this time when he was born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, the God-man. I'm going to tell the whole story of Jesus, the Son of God. And it starts in something I want to call the eternal counsel. The eternal counsel. You know, in a way that we created beings will probably never fully understand, there was a time when there was no time. And in that eternal counsel of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it was determined that when human beings exercised their power of moral choice and fell into sin, when they rebelled against God and his law, that God would send a Savior, a deliverer. And that Savior would be the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, as God has chosen to reveal himself. And the Scriptures tell us that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Lamb, that he was slain from the foundation of the world. Even before there was anything, it was determined that he was going to give his life for us. It was determined that he would be the one to redeem the fallen creation. Now, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he had all the glory and all the worship that was rightly due him. But he knew that the time would come when he would willingly set aside all of that glory and worship and humble himself, that he would be made human, he would unite with humanity, that the Son of God would take on human flesh, become the God-man. He would be born into this world, he would live a life of perfect righteousness, he would willingly give his life for our sins on the cross. He would die, he would be buried, and he would rise again, though, 3 days later. And he did all of this in order that all who believe in him will be forgiven their sins and receive God's great gift of eternal life and immeasurable eternal riches. We see then in the creation, you know, when people think of God as the creator, they tend to think of God the Father as the creator of all things, but the Scriptures tell us that as God, yes, Jesus is the creator of all things. And that Scripture passage we read a moment ago referenced Jesus as the creator of all things, that everything that has been made was made by him and through him. Now, at Christmas time, we think of Jesus, that little baby in the manger. But amazingly, that little baby in the manger was also the creator of the heavens and the earth. Incredible to think about, isn't it? Well, when God created all things, He declared that it was good. And speaking of the creation of man and woman in His image, He declared that to be very good. However, though, those first human beings, our parents, Adam and Eve, they used their power of moral choice to rebel against God. And all of us have followed in their footsteps ever since. Now, Jesus, the Son of God, He knew that we would fall into sin. And He knew, though, the price that He would pay in order to buy us back from that. Scripture tells us that right after that first sin by our original parents, God announced judgment. But He also made a promise. He promised that a conquering hero born of woman would come into this world to defeat sin and evil. And that promise is found right in one of the earliest chapters of the Scriptures in Genesis chapter 3, where God declared that this one who was coming, who would be born of woman, that He would crush the head of the serpent, but that His heel would be bruised. Through that, He was indicating that Jesus would be gravely injured, but in so doing, He would forever defeat Satan, sin, and evil. The righteousness of God and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the death of the innocent one on behalf of the guilty ones, is foreshadowed throughout the entire Old Testament sacrificial system. And the holiness and purity of Jesus is seen in the tabernacle and the temple arrangements. And we also, though, see the sacrifice of Jesus in the deaths of unblemished lambs for the sins of others. Well, the time finally came, though, when Jesus, the Son of God, left His glorious heavenly throne and came into our dark world. And about 2,000 years ago, He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of a virgin named Mary in a little town called Bethlehem. The angels announced the birth of the Savior to the shepherds in a nearby field. And sometime later, wise men came from the east and they worshipped Him, bearing gifts fit for a king: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When He was about 30 years old, Jesus began His public ministry. He was the supreme revelation of God. They want to know, what is God like? How can I know God and what God is like? He has to reveal Himself. And He's done that in the creation. But He's done it, though, also in His Word, the Scriptures. But He has revealed Himself supremely and ultimately in the person of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. What is God like? Look at Jesus. He is God, the Son of God. And as such, He is the very embodiment of God, the very embodiment of the Word of God. When Jesus began His ministry, some think of Him as a teacher, and He was. He was a teacher of God's truth. Some think of Him as a miracle worker, and He certainly was that. He was a miracle worker who countless times demonstrated God's mercy and compassion. Some think of Him as a prophet, and He was that. He was a prophet who declared the Word of God and declared things that were yet to come. But most of all, though, He was and He is the Savior who came to die on our behalf. And that time came when He would willingly give His life for us. He had lived a life of perfection, of perfect moral righteousness. The Scriptures call it holiness. And He had done that for us who could not do that. And because the penalty or the judgment on our sin is death, He bore that as well in giving His life for us. He was punished for our sin, for our transgressions. And then He died, and He died in order that we would not have to die spiritually, eternally. He took the punishment for our sin in order that we would not have to ourselves. And God's anger for the sin of the world was poured out on Jesus on the cross. but the righteous requirements then of God were fully met in him through his life and through his death on the cross. And when Jesus died on that cross, he was taken off and he was buried. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. But aren't you glad, though, that the story doesn't end there? It doesn't, does it? And we celebrate then at Easter. We celebrate every day, actually. And every Sunday morning when we gather, we are acknowledging once again his resurrection. He was raised in glory 3 days later in order that we may follow him in resurrection from the grave. He appeared to his disciples. He appeared to his mother and to his brothers and to as many as 500 on a single occasion. And 40 days later, he ascended into heaven with a promise. With a promise that he would send the Holy Spirit to minister to us and through us. Now, he has reclaimed that heavenly glory that was rightly his. And Scripture says that he now sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. And while he is there, he prays for you. He prays for you and for me. And he lives forever to serve as your great high priest and my great high priest. And the Scripture says, as our priest, he understands our weaknesses and our temptations. He is the head of the church, and the church is his bride. But even so, though, still the story doesn't end there, does it? Scripture tells us that he is coming again, that he's coming again to our world. And this time he will come in great power and glory. And he will bring judgment with him, final judgment on the world, and he will rule over all the earth. He will judge all the world. He will judge everyone who's ever lived. And those who've put their faith in him will live and reign with him forever and ever, while those who've rejected him will be separated from him forever. But the Scriptures say that all creation will bow down before him and acknowledge him as Lord, that all creation will be summed up in him and will be for him and for his glory. And all who believe in him will reign then with him in a new heaven and a new earth, because he is making all things new. He says in his word, "Behold, I am making all things new." You might think, well, so what? That's an interesting story, but what does that have to do with me? You've been telling me to take this personally. Well, how can I take this personally? Well, the good news of Christmas. People say, what is Christmas? What is Christmas all about? Well, I say, well, it's about giving, the spirit of giving. Is it really? Is that what Christmas is all about, the spirit of giving? Now, there's nothing wrong with giving, right? We give gifts at this time of year, don't we? And it's good to have love in our hearts, love for all, peace, peace on earth, all of these things. These are good things, but ultimately, what is Christmas really about? It's about hope. It's about life. Life in Jesus Christ. So what? How is this story relevant for me? How is this personal for me? Well, through him is life. And the Scripture says it's for all those who have put their trust or their faith or their confidence in him, who've acknowledged to God, I've sinned, I've done wrong, but I believe Jesus came for me, that he died for me, that he rose again for me. And I ask you, Lord, to deliver me, deliverer, Jesus. Have you placed your faith in the Savior? And you say, yes, I have, but God calls us in his word then to live for him. Are you living for Jesus Christ? Christmas isn't just coming to a nice church service. It's not gathering around a tree. It's not family gatherings and parties and giving gifts, all of that. Those are nice things, but Christmas is about acknowledging once again that God has sent a Savior. Is your life being lived in light of that and living for him? And finally, then, Scripture tells us that He is coming again and that we need to be ready for Him. Are you ready for His return? You know, the great Apostle Paul, a great servant of Jesus Christ, said how it was his great desire that he did not want to be ashamed at the coming of Christ. That is, he had lived his life in such a way that he'd honored Him and that he was ready for that return because he had honored Him in his life. And that's what God calls us to do. Now, you know, I'm aware that as we are gathered here this evening, we've been singing of this Savior who is a deliverer, who is the light that shines in the darkness, who is peace, all of those things. And yet the reality is that we do live in a very dark and sad world, don't we? This world does not know peace. But I'd like us to close on this thought about why Jesus came, even acknowledging the darkness. There is a wonderful writer and pastor named Max Lucado. Some of you know him, have read some of his books. But he wrote this, it's called A Christmas Prayer, and he wrote this shortly after that horrific crime in Newtown, Connecticut. He said this, he said, "Dear Jesus, it is a good thing that you were born at night. This world sure seems dark. I have a good eye for silver linings, but they seem dimmer lately. These killings, Lord, these children, Lord, innocence violated, raw evil demonstrated. The whole world seems on edge, trigger happy, ticked off. We hear threats of chemical weapons and nuclear bombs. Are we one button push away from annihilation? Your world seems a bit darker this Christmas. But you were born in the dark, right? You came at night. The shepherds were night shift workers. The wise men followed a star. Your first cries were heard in the shadows. And to see your face, Mary and Joseph needed a candle flame. It was dark. Dark with Herod's jealousy, dark with Roman oppression, dark with poverty, dark with violence. Herod went on a rampage killing babies. Joseph took you and your mom into Egypt. You were an immigrant before you were a Nazarene. O Lord Jesus, you entered the dark world of your day. Won't you enter ours? We're weary of bloodshed. And we, like the wise men, are looking for a star. And we, like the shepherds, are kneeling at a manger. This Christmas, we ask you, heal us, help us, be born anew in us, we pray. Amen." Let's pray. Father, we've been reflecting upon this story of Jesus. And Lord, there are so many things that we could say about Him, about His life, about His ministry to us and for us, about His teachings. But that most important thing that we need to understand about Him is that He is the Savior, the one that you have sent into the world. As your word says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life." And for that, Lord, we do give you thanks, and we do give you praise. And Lord, we do acknowledge the darkness of this world around us, but we're thankful that Jesus Christ is the light that shines in that darkness. Father, I pray that His light will shine in our hearts tonight. Maybe there's someone here tonight, Lord, who is feeling powerfully the darkness in his life, in her world. Lord Jesus, would you shine in that life and show her that there is hope. There is hope in Jesus Christ. There is forgiveness in Jesus Christ. There is life, eternal life in Jesus Christ. And Father, may His light shine in us and through us. May that light that shines in the darkness shine not only in the darkness of our world, but may that light then be reflected into the darkness of the hearts of others, Lord. And may Jesus be honored in it all, we pray in his name. Amen.